This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Seattle Seahawks have traded the 144th pick to the Cleveland Browns. With the 144th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado.
Browns draft two quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. And along the way, if you were checked out on draft weekend, Shedeur Sanders got prank called like he was going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Pretty rough moment. Then it comes out that the person, one of the people involved in prank calling Shedeur Sanders, is the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Jeff Ulbrich.
That's the defensive coordinator. His son's name is Jax. So Jax, yeah. Ulbrich is one of the pranksters calling Shedeur Sanders. And there were a number of NFL draft prospects who got prank called, including one of the Bills guy, the tackle. So
yeah.
The NFL's kind of looking into how numbers got leaked and what happened. So not great.
The Falcons sent out a statement saying that it was an open iPad, like an unlocked iPad that was on and open, that basically is where he got the number from.
Yeah, and the NFL is investigating that claim.
Yeah.
So not a great look.
Whatever you think of Sanders, like that was totally cruel. And did you see the video from Sanders' perspective?
Yeah.
Cause he clearly went through it, right? And he's got a big ego and he had his big draft room, right, with all the hats and everything. But he makes it to day three and you saw his reaction. Like at that point he just wanted to be picked. Cause I think going undrafted would have been really embarrassing for him. And he kind of goes to a quarterback room where if you thought he was gonna go in day three, he kind of has a shot there, right? He's not buried behind some franchise quarterback.
Yep.
That's going to be a four-way quarterback competition in Cleveland, just wide open. It's a weird quarterback room, but I think it's a four-way competition. They drafted another kid, Dylan Gabriel, in the third round,
I think.
Oregon, yeah. Yeah.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. We're talking about the Bills draft class and looking around, you know, draft grades. You might think draft grades are absurd on a day like today because we don't see with the players. I saw Kevin Cole, Unexpected Points, Substack, and Podcast, made the point that this actually is when to draft the grades, or when to grade the drafts, rather. This is the time because the information you have is the draft boards and consensus and positional value, and if you do it 3 years from now, then it's like, oh, that was a good pick in the sixth round, which
is revisionist history
a little bit. Grading at that right. point, there is some value. How was your draft? But you know, if put it this way, if Shedeur Sanders ends up being great, do the Browns deserve credit? They drafted another quarterback in front of him, so there's obviously not an expectation that he will be successful. To some degree.
Right. What's more useful? The grades the day after or the redraft 4 years later said, oh, if we redraft this, the Jets would have picked Brock Purdy third overall, actually.
Right. Oh, actually, the Patriots draft of Tom Brady was the best draft of all time. Oh, okay. I guess we should have known that in the moment that was a great pick.
Although, they should get some credit for that, right? Like,
no.
The Bills, no, none. The Bills shouldn't get any credit for drafting Benford in round six.
Not really.
No?
No, not really.
So it's just random.
I want to say like the first three rounds, I'll give you something. Past that, it's everybody picking a scratch-up ticket off the floor and like, ooh, mine won. Oh, cool.
Uh-huh.
It's a raffle late in the draft.
If you drafted a guy in round six of our rookie dynasty draft, coming up in a couple of months and he hits. You're not going to want credit for that?
I should deserve credit, yes. I'll take that. 803-0550. Thanks for joining us here on WGR. Sal, top of the hour, and Brandon Bean at 8:30.
To bring home the point about how much more the Bills have invested in defense this offseason than offense, I just went through and added up the draft value points for each side of the ball for what the Bills spent. Money-wise, I mean, it's definitely in favor of defense. $33 million total for 2025 on defense, $10 million total on offense. For new players, this is just new players.
Okay.
Draft value points, the Bills spent 1,460 draft value points on defense. They spent 32 on offense.
And that's counting like special teams guys as offense.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Right, like the receiver would be more likely to play on special teams. I mean, there's a couple defensive players there too, but it's mostly that their first five picks were all defensive players. 1,460 defense, 32 for offense.
Yeah.
Defense better be good.
803-0550. Caden Prather. You may not.
I did watch some highlights.
Okay. You may not have heard of Caden Prather before. I had heard of Caden Prather.
How about Maryland.
That? Yeah. 6'3", 204, and fast. So he's big. Maybe special teams. Maybe your new Mac Hollins. I had heard of Caden Prather because he was. There was a dynasty trade in one of my leagues where Jonathan Mingo got traded. And I went to see what Jonathan Mingo's value was on the draft value chart, and he was not listed. And I know that because as I scrolled to the bottom of the chart, I saw and even mentioned to the group in the chat, hey, Jonathan Mingo's not listed, but there is someone by the name of Caden Prather, who is the last listed asset in Dynasty Fantasy Football before he's drafted. Now he's on the Bills. So there you go. Caden Prather. I knew all about him, Joe. Fantasy football, making us smarter every day.
I liked the highlights. He makes guys miss.
Okay.
At least he did it. He did it in Maryland.
He made a lot of NFL teams miss him in the draft.
Once upon a time, there was a day three pick out of Maryland that turned into a pretty good Buffalo Bill.
They didn't
pick him. He didn't have an NFL comparison, by the way, from NFL.com.
Okay.
Like, they didn't put him as one. I mean, they had him as like a high level practice squad player. Which I don't know that anyone's out there power ranking how good the practice squad players are, but
Dennis in Lockport. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, I like the show this morning. I agree with you on a lot of stuff you're talking about. One of the things I noticed, I thought we kind of reached by giving up our second-round pick just to get the one guy when there still were some well-quality guys, if not any, some of them better than the guy that we got, and we gave up a pick. But, you know, one of the things, guys, in the last few years since McDermott's been here, no matter who's been our defensive coordinator, by game five, game six in the season, it seems like all the teams that we need to beat seem to already have our number, and they torch the living daylights out of our secondary, and it could be our running game. And usually it's from injuries or what have you. And I agree, this should be McDermott's year, either put up or shut up on the defense, but I'm hoping we're not coming back with the same schemes that everyone seems to figure out pretty quickly. And, yeah, our offense is rolling, but our defense can't shut anything down when it comes time to be needed.
Thanks, Dennis. You're right. It's time to get the job done defensively. The good news is, like, this draft isn't just for this year. I mean, listen, this is the nature of the draft, and this is why, you know, do I want more receivers and more attention paid to receiver? Of course. But if they build themselves a complete defense – that'll last for like 2-3 years. You know, staying good defensively is hard to do. It is very difficult to maintain a top five defense year over year over year because of salary cap constraints, guys leaving, like the Eagles who just, you know, got to Mahomes like crazy, lost a bunch of the guys that did it. And they start over again a little bit, keep some pieces, let some leave. And the Bills, I always felt like, the point about the transition that they were going through, the transition was about leadership and Diggs and defense, the safety transition. They're transitioning off a defense that was built primarily on the back end. Mm-hmm. And now this group looks like, sure, you've got your Benford piece and Bishop last year, but this defense looks like it might want to be built more from the front end, from defensive line, linebackers. You've just addressed that need again and again and again, two pieces, three pieces in free agency, and five pieces in the draft.
Right. I mean, they threw a lot at the secondary in this draft, right? Like, I don't know where Hancock's going to end up playing. I don't think he'll end up playing a defense much right away, but they described him as a nickel and a safety, maybe like a little bit like Cam Lewis.
Yep, which I like that. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and that's a round five pick. I mean, that's where Taron Johnson got drafted, so you cross your fingers and hope.
To me, the idea of a nickel corner slash safety instead of an outside corner is actually the perfect pick in that spot because Taron Johnson, I mean, he's not that old, but you know, he's been banged up a little bit, and they could use a little bit of depth in the safety room.
I mean, if Hairston is good right away, it could be a defense that it'll be different in how it's good, how it's great from the original McDermott defenses, where safety was once your best position, and I could see them this year turning into a great defense where safety is their worst position.
Yeah.
Easily, right? Like,
I think it already was.
If Hairston hits, you have three good corners, you have two good linebackers, and then if you get even half of the defensive linemen that you've invested in this offseason to be good players for you, even half, then your defensive line is really good too. And it'll be, okay, safety is pretty good at best, maybe even just okay, but it doesn't matter because everything else around them is solid.
803-0550. Sal coming up at 8. More of your calls. Brandon Bean at 8:30 on WGR.